I want to open up the word this morning. I have been I don't want to say mentally, but spiritually, it just seemed like so many different areas, so many directions. That's what happens when I'm out of the pulpit for more than a week, because it's like, oh my gosh, all those things. So I'm going to just get this out the best way that I can, because I feel like there's like almost like three different flows, three different messages. So I'm just going to do this the best I can, and you just come along for the ride. Does that sound good? You know, share with some of my heart. And so I want everyone turn to Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. That's where we're going to start, 22, and then we're going to go all the way down to 33. We're going to be reading from the NIV. That's what we're going to go. And when you get there, you know, just say, praise the Lord, when you get there. Those of you, if you're using your paper Bible, if you're using your, you know, your Bible might be glowing, if you charged it up last night, whatever it is, when you get there, say, oh me, because I want you to read it. I want you to look at it. And if there's like, oh, I didn't have anything, we're going to have a big Bible on the screen behind me. And so it says right here in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went down to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Oh no, it's a ghost, right? It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, Jesus says this word, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And then they climbed into the boat. The wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That's a good passage of scripture right there. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Father. We've already been in your presence, and the atmosphere is just so wonderful, so rich. I thank you for the people of God here at Family Worship Center that are here. I thank you, Father God, that we don't come into this place to be entertained, but we come in here to be drastically changed. Truly, Father, that when we walk out of this place, that we can say it was so good to be in the presence of the Lord, that we grow closer to you in our relationship in every aspect, in every way. And I thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. We said, amen. 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 I have a question to start off with you today. How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you are Apple users? Apple users, I believe if Jesus walked on the earth today, he would be an Apple man. Samsung? How many Samsungs? Samsungs? Okay. And Samsungs. Okay. What is it? Android, right? Right. What's the other ones? Moto? They still have those? LG, Moto, LG, right? Okay. A couple flip. Who's got a flip phone? Anyone still holding up with a beeper? Just asking. This service, you might never know. You know, I was just wondering. Someone might be busting out a beeper. And so, but yesterday at the small group, Dude's Food, shameless plug. Yes, yesterday morning, Dude's Food, some of the men got together for breakfast. And when we left, great time, great conversation. When I left, it was pretty interesting, and this is what kind of brought it to my attention. I had my phone, and we were talking about stuff, and you know, I was talking to Tim and this and that, and we're getting information. I was texting Maggie, I was texting, you know, we're getting this information to see if anybody else, if everyone's all taken care of, right? I was texting Pastor Kathy, and then, you know, I put the phone down, and we're talking. When I get up and we're leaving, right, I get in the car because I'm going to put some music on, and all of a sudden I notice my phone has totally flatlined, right? And then we're like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, immediately, I'm like, almost a cold sweat came over my body. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, wait. And it wouldn't, it's like totally flatlined. Didn't do anything, didn't drop it, didn't put it in water, didn't drop it in the toilet. I, you know, because some of us did toilet text. And so, you know, but none of that happened. And it basically, honestly, it was just like a flatline. And then all of a sudden, like, I went, oh my gosh. And I just smiled big, like, if this broke, I'm phone free for a couple days. And I thought to myself, now, if rewind the clock 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I don't know if that would be the same case. You know, needless to say, after a few minutes, it came back on. So it's you know, but regardless, it got me thinking in a certain area. It got me thinking about the time that I think it was Nick's first phone, the first time he got a phone. We went to order it. We thought we were going to get it for his birthday, and we had to go ahead and order it. And you know, they went to Apple and they said, okay, or AT&T or whatever it was, and they gave us the tracking number. So I would, you know, periodically I'd go, okay. And Nick's like, okay, I'm going to get my phone, right? Yes. And we go and we look to see, and we look up the tracking number. And I remember looking at it, and when I look the phone up to where it is with UPS, the phrase or the term in transit, phone in transit. And I'm sure everyone understands what that means. That means basically you're gonna get the phone. The phone is yours, but it's on its way. You don't have it yet, but it's in transit. It's on its way. And thinking about that, how my brain just works like that, it just kind of domino effects in that area, it made me think about how there may be people here this morning that are struggling because they haven't received their breakthrough yet. They're struggling because they haven't received their miracle yet. And so I was strongly impressed by the Lord to encourage you that your miracle, your breakthrough, what you're believing God for is in transit. Amen. It is yours. It's just on its way. And so we may get frustrated. We may get challenged by, oh my gosh, we're constantly, where is it? 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 But we just have to trust in the Lord that everything's going to be all right. Amen. You know, and so that's where we got to lean on Him, lean on His trust, lean on really it boils down to our relationship with Him. Amen. Because truly, if our relationship with Him is where it should be, there would be trust. All we have to do at that point is just fight off our flesh. Because, you know, our flesh wants what it wants, and it wants it now, right? Every single one of us does. You know, it's just like, absolutely, you know? And so you just fight off your flesh. But you kind of become even more in the hole if you're not consistently spending time with God. You know, Jesus told the disciples to go, get in a boat, and go across the river, go across the lake, and when he did that, they were in transit. In the middle of being in transit, they encountered a storm. Are you with me? Think about that for a second. Marinate on that for a second. That they were being obedient to God. They were being obedient to Jesus. And they encountered a storm in transit. You say, well, what's the point of that? Well, my question, a question to you this morning is, if you knew that the direction that God gave you was leading you to a potential storm, would you still do it? Would you still do it? Would you obey Jesus even if you knew it would lead you into a storm? A lot of us say yes in these walls, within these walls. But being truthful, a lot of us say yes within these walls. But when the rubber hits the rubber meets the road, you know, and we're in our own homes and we're dealing with our bosses, we're dealing with this, we're dealing with our spouses, we're dealing with our kids, we're dealing with our neighbors, we're dealing with this and this and this and that and that and that and that and everything else. It's like, okay, well, maybe not. I don't need a storm right now, so I'm just going to back off. And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. And that's exactly how we back off from our full potential of walking out our destiny. I remember, and I'm not proud of this, basically from ninth grade for like 10 years on, I went from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship, girlfriend to girlfriend to girlfriend to girlfriend to girlfriend. I'm not proud of this, okay? This is not like, oh, yeah, you're the man, you're a little, you know, Don Juan DeMarco, you know, no. I'm not proud of that. You know, but I went from boom to, you know, just relationship, you know. And so I remember when the Lord put on my heart, you know, I'm growing in him, you know, later on, you know, after I graduated high school, and then he puts it on my heart, you know, you go to Bible college. I'm going to go to Bible college. I remember specifically when it was the time to go to Bible college, and he said, listen, go, when you go to Bible college, you're going to get all that you possibly can get out of Bible college. That's like a no-brainer, right? That's like, well, yeah, right. But so many people do it, and they don't do that. So for me, that was profound to me. That was deep because I knew what that meant for me. John didn't need to get into a relationship while he was at Bible college. Amen. And I'm like, I knew that. You know? So I refrained. And I tell you what, it was challenging. When you're used to always being with somebody, like these little marriages, and you break up in a marriage and then divorce in a marriage, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, and you're used to having somebody on your arm, you know, and you're doing it, it's like, I'm being obedient, right? You say, well, that, you know, that should make a lot of sense, but when you're walking through it, and you're there on Friday night, you know, because I worked at a restaurant, I worked at Outback Steakhouse. I waited tables for about 6 months, and then I managed it for about a year and a half. And on a Friday night, you're thinking, normally, if I was back in Florida, I'd be, you know, going to a movie, I'd be doing this, I'd be doing that. I would, you know, it's just like, and all of a sudden, you're like, you're alone. And it's like, I don't like this feeling. And then it starts to wear on you after a while, and you start thinking there's something wrong with me. When really, it was God was the entire reason why I didn't move forward with any relationship. It wasn't like there was an opportunity; it was I was being obedient, but it led me to a storm that I didn't even know that I was going to walk into. And then what happened was after that time, that time of just me and God, God and I, spending time together, I found out something about myself. I found out, and I preached this all the time for 18 years as a youth pastor to teenagers, that, you know, what's more important than who's on your arm is having Jesus in your heart. Amen. And my sufficiency, I didn't realize that my sufficiency was being found in who was on my arm. And I discovered that my sufficiency needs to be in Christ. Amen. And not just that I just find it out, but I was walking it out. And so I was walking out. Now that storm, it may not be a big, you know, it's like, for you, it's like, oh, no big deal. But for me, having a mother that at 10 years old said to me, I don't want you, I don't want your brother, I don't want your father, blankety blank, get the blank out of my house, and blah, 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 and then that was it. And having and later on in years, I understand why there was a draw, why I felt like I needed to have acceptance from a female, you know, the old saying in hindsight's 20/20. It makes sense. But at the time, when you're walking it out, you don't see that. You're in the middle of it. And so, so I went through, those storms, that a storm, and I came out stronger on the other side. And it's so important for us to realize and understand that that I would rather take the small storm of today instead of going through the big storm of tomorrow. So let's say I didn't do what God put in my heart to do. I did what I wanted to do. And I never, ever, ever discovered that. I would have not aligned myself up. I would not have been in the right place. I believe, Kathy and I would have been two ships in a night. It wouldn't have put me in a position for God's best. It wouldn't have put me, you understand? So then, who would I have married? And what kind of situation would I have been in? Would I have been attracted to somebody that was godly? I mean, there's a plethora of undiscovered country when you don't listen to God, you know? But it's all potential challenges. It's all potential bad decisions. And so, which are bigger storms than just going through what I went through on Friday nights for a couple years. The sacrifice seemed big then, but it was nothing compared to what the gain was later. So why do I say that? I say that because a lot of times we make excuses in our daily walk. We make excuses, and so why we go through the storm that our tummies are rumbling and I don't want to fast. Oh my gosh. It's like, oh, I could go through the storm of, oh my gosh, there must be something wrong with me. I pray for, and I read the Bible, and I don't get anything. I don't understand anything. I just don't get this. I don't understand. Is there something wrong with me? When really we're only doing it for like 2 or 3 minutes on our phone, and then we jump on Facebook, and then we jump on Instagram, and then we're checking out what's going on. Oh my gosh, look what's going on in the news. And it's just like, you know, honestly, the everyday things of life. Those things hold back a lot of those miracles, those things that are in transit, that are on their way. God desires to meet every single need. Amen. But it's up to us to understand what we need to do. See, I will say this. Jesus, the Word made flesh, saw the importance of spending time with God, right? We read it right there in Matthew. He saw it was paramount, and he was Jesus. How much more is it important for you and I to spend time with God every day? The "I don't have time" excuse is that's tired. It is worn out, you know, because we keep saying, you know, I can hear Pastor Tom in my head. If you listen to Pastor Tom, you're always in my head. And, it's like I can hear him saying, "Bless God, what's the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Bless God." You know, I can hear him saying it. But the thing is, it's the truth. We keep saying we want this, we need this, and we desire that, but we're not changing anything that we're doing when God has done everything that he's going to do. Amen. You know, I was very, 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 very careful in my wording, purposely. I want to do all I can to not just come up here and share. Kathy and I don't want to just come up here and share the Word of God, but we want to live the Word of God. We want to, in everything that we say and everything that we do our very, very best. We're not perfect. Trust me, she's way perfect. I mean, that's perfection. This is like, okay, I just got blessed. And so, but my thought pattern is this. Listen to this. Is that while the hurricane or the storm, the hurricane was here, if you notice my wording was, I never, ever, ever prayed, "God, please protect us." I never prayed, "God, please send the storm away." That wasn't my prayer. I never prayed that prayer because we've been given authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, that by nothing shall by any means harm you or I. So guess what? the authority that you've been given as a child of God, and I've been given as a child of God, is up to us to utilize it. It's not going to God and asking him, God, please do this, when he's like, hello, McFly, you have everything that you need. You just got to walk in it. It's like saying, okay, you've got a $1 million in the bank, but you need groceries, you need this, you need that, your electric's going to get cut off, the house note's in, and it's all of a sudden you're there, and you're like, I don't know what to do. And then your accountant's like, just go to the bank and get what you need. Just walk, you just use it, do it, go for it. You know, and that's where it's like, I was super intentional about that. Because there was a very, very important, because an important illustration, an important example to say, you know what, we're exercising our authority. And so a lot of people are like, wow, now that you said that, I didn't understand that. Then praise God, you got it. Because we have that authority. The word of God says it. So you know what? We spoke to that storm. I can't tell you about anybody else. I don't know reasons of this or that. I don't have the answer. I'll be totally honest with you. You know, my heart goes out for what happened, you know, in Bahamas. I don't know. But all I know is that, you know what? I have authority over my house. God has given me authority over this church. So therefore, I have authority. So we put that bloodline around this church, around this property. And guess what? We prayed over all of your houses. I mean, we prayed for you and everything else as well. And that you know what? Because Family Worship Center is in the city of Port Orange, and we're exercising our authority, so is everybody else in the city of Port Orange protected? Because we're here. And I don't say that braggadociously. I don't say that meanly. I understand the authority that God has given us. I understand that. And so this morning, to continue to go on, it's important for us to spend time with Jesus. It's so important. Spend time with God and make it bite-sized. I remember so much being a young adult and, you know, in the early 90s, you know, or mid 90s. And it's like, you know, oh, you know, you want to get up early in the morning. And they had those songs, you know, rise up and seek thee, you know. And we were sitting there and it's like we're in prayer. And it's like, man, you know, it's like 2 hours. And I'm like, man, it's not 2 hours. It's only been 10 minutes, you know. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And you know, for me, praying in the morning is challenging, still to this day. I mean, there's times I'm up and I pray. When I get up, I'm praying all the time. I am training myself. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, said this, and I'm like, oh, I want to make that a part of my life. He says he doesn't pray. When he was alive, he said he never prayed more than 5 minutes. But he never went 5 minutes without praying. In the spirit. And I'm training myself to constantly be praying in the spirit all the time. All the time. I'm not where I want to be, but you know what? I'm better than where I was. Because you know what? It's a desire in my heart. I always want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. It's going to make me a better husband. And my wife says, praise the Lord. You know, it's going to make me a better dad. My kids say, hallelujah. You know, it's going to make me a better dog owner. London says, woof, woof. You know? And so, And so, but the truth of the matter is honestly, taking the small storms of today instead of going through the big storms of tomorrow, you know, it's better to be alone for a small amount of time in my life than to go through a divorce and another divorce and another divorce. I mean, even potentially drag children through it. That's a major storm. The principle that's happening in this scripture that we're talking about is the storm is raging, the wind is blowing, and yet Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. We have to understand when we're walking through situations and circumstances and storms in life, the closer we are to Jesus, he encourages you take courage. You know, you can't borrow courage. It has to. You have to take courage, and you have to rise up. Amen. Take courage. It is I, Jesus said. Don't be afraid. And what happened? Peter, they saw him, and he said, if it's you, let me come out to you. And Jesus, in one word, says the entire gospel, wrapped up in one word, come. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked in the miraculous. The moment he looked around, he began to sink. The music ministry would make their way up. He began to sink. Storms happen in our lives. When circumstances, situations, they could be the storms of life, or even storms that are, even storms that are just, God led you to them, to walk through, because they're going to cause you to grow. We keep our eyes on Jesus. He'll guide us through it. See, Jesus, after that, he said, oh, Peter, help him up. See, we always want Jesus to be on our boat wherever we're going. Because when we have Jesus in our boat, we'll never get lost. We'll never fret for anything. We won't be afraid. And even if it does come up, even if we're like, Jesus is right there. Hey, it's okay. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That's a word for somebody this morning. Your breakthrough's in transit. Your miracle's in transit. Take courage. It's Jesus. Don't be afraid. Bring him into your boat every day. The boat of your heart, the boat in your home. But just be intentional.